This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Earlier this week, 1.5 million people turned out to see Pope John Paul II beatified by Pope Benedict XVI in Rome. It marked the largest attendance of any beatification ceremony in history. Now, beatification is an important step in the Catholic practice of canonization, or making one a saint. Saint Gaetano Cattanoso was the first person to be canonized by Pope Benedict XVI. He was, in fact, beatified 14 years ago this week. Saint Gaetano's cousin, Justin Cattanoso, learned all about the beatification process while conducting research for his 2008 family memoir, My Cousin the Saint. The book explores faith and family heritage and also explains just how complex the path to sainthood can be. Joining us to talk about his cousin, the saint, and the canonization process is Justin Cattanoso. Welcome back to the program, Justin.
Hello, Frank.
I know it's a complicated process, but give us a kind of a rough sketch about the canonization process. How many steps are there?
Well, there are about 5 or 6, and it starts in the parish, at the parish level. And I should note that back in the early 80s, when Pope John Paul II was a relatively new pope, he actually changed and streamlined the rules of saint-making that really bogged down over the previous 400 years, and it would take 50 to 100 years to get someone through the process. He wanted it to go much more quickly. So one of the first things he did was he instilled the power in the local parish with the local bishops or the monsignors to nominate people that they thought had lived lives of heroic virtue, and bring those causes to the Vatican so they could start to explore that life.
So tell us again, heroic virtue, what are some of the other qualities that allow you even to be considered for sainthood?
See, here's the thing. You know, we all get wrapped up in these miracles, and Pope John Paul had this miracle that was attributed to him. My cousin had 2 miracles attributed to him. But the whole process of beatification and canonization is about the life. And this idea of having lived a life of heroic virtue is about being really consistent and persistent and somewhat courageous in your faith and in your following of Catholic Scripture and what it means to be a Catholic and what it means to defend that faith against all odds and really against all kinds of adversity.
Now, the miracles that you talk about, though, they are an important part. There has to be at least one miracle in the life of the proposed saint.
You know, the miracles come after death. The miracles don't come during the life. And as it's explained by the Vatican, and Frank, I actually went to the Vatican and I got to interview a couple of the priests there that work in the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. The miracles are evidence that this person is in heaven. I mean, again, that's sort of the Catholic rule, that they have ascended to heaven and that they are close to God. And if they can perform miracles, if they are intercessors for miracles, then you know they're there. It's almost like this is the Catholic Church's way of saying, we've got proof that they are where we think they are.
Now, apparently Pope John Paul II named more saints than all the other popes combined in the previous, at least in 400 years since.
Yes.
How is he able to, this is because of the streamlining, I guess.
Well, it's partly that, but this gets a little confused in the sense that Pope John Paul recognized a lot of martyrs. And these are people that died for the cause of Catholicism, you know, really any time in the last several hundred years. And he did some of those in very large groups. So individually, I think there were maybe 200 individual people, of which my cousin was one of them. But then there was a large group of martyrs that were also recognized, really 100 at a time. So that's how come, it's partly why he was able to do so many, but the streamlining helped a lot.
How common is it to see people in this process so shortly after death? Your cousin, the Pope, Mother Teresa, was that common throughout the Church's history?
No, not at all. It used to be, the rules were first set by saint-making really back in the 15th century, not too long after Luther. Luther, when he split from the Church, was just disgusted by how the whole process of saint-making had turned into a racket. And so the Church made these rules, and you needed to be dead for 50 years before you could even be considered for a saint. Now, that has been reduced down to 5 years. In just 2 cases, that would be Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II, that 5-year waiting period has been eliminated. For my cousin, he was nominated for sainthood about 17 years after he died, and then it was 25 years before he was actually canonized.
Is there anything, has the process itself, is it considered political in any way?
You know, it's an interesting question. It's something that the Vatican is very sensitive to. They will say no. What I found in my research and what I wrote was this sense that yeah, there is politics involved. And really, from John Paul's point of view, it was about spreading the faith. It was about looking around the world and seeing, one, two things. One, that Catholicism was lapsing and that the faith was coming under attack in different places. And two, the naming of saints was taking too long, and the people that were being held up as role models, you couldn't relate to because they were from a century ago. He wanted saints that were more contemporary as a way of firing up the faithful. And so he really cranked up this canonization process as a way of evangelizing. And he would do beatifications and canonizations, not just in St. Peter's, but around the world, and they would draw millions of people. It really worked.
Who all is involved in the saint-making process?
Well, first it's the local parish. So there's a group that actually investigates the life, and there are about 300 questions that are asked of anyone who might have known the person. If he died long ago, then you pull together all his papers and everything is gone through. That's all bundled up, and it goes to the Congregation for the Causes of Saints. There are about 24 priests that work in that office, and they vet these causes. At any one time, there are 200 of these causes that they're going through.
And then on up the process, on up the chain, I would assume there are
cardinals,
bishops.
First step of recognition is called veneration, and you don't need a miracle for that. But it basically recognizes that you have lived this life of heroic virtue, and except for a miracle, you are on the path to beatification and then canonization.
Is it a rough and tumble process? Is there a debate? Let's take John Paul II, for instance. Are there those who are opposed to his canonization? Are they vocal?
You know, there used to be the office of a devil's advocate, and we've all heard that phrase, but it's something that John Paul did away with in the early 80s. Again, that was sort of gunking up the works, and so out it went. There's actually a lot less of that contention in these processes than there used to be. The idea is they don't want to recognize anyone that isn't worthy, and so they're sort of self-checking themselves. But there isn't that prosecutor in there that's trying to poke holes in a cause any longer.
How have things changed in the region of your cousin's work, Gaetano, Saint Gaetano now, in the 6 years since he's become a saint? Are there icons? Is there veneration? How does his world and his image change once he becomes a saint?
You know, he was not a very well-known priest. You know, he was well-known and revered in his area of southern Calabria. Since then, his church has been somewhat of a shrine. His body is actually, his remains are within a glass tomb. And so that is a place that the faithful show up to say their prayers and ask for blessings and miracles. In the little village that he was born in, which is up the hill from Reggio Calabria, where my grandfather was born, they have restored the house where he was born. And so that has become something of a museum piece. And there are a couple of schools that have been named for him. He also has an order of nuns that are still very active. And, of course, their profile since the canonization has been raised as well. I think it's helped them raise money and basically extend what they do, which is to be very charitable, helping people out there in the world.
Justin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Justin Catanoso, executive editor of the Triad Business Journal and the author of My Cousin the Saint. You can find out more about the book at justincatanoso.com, spelled Catanoso, C-A-T-A-N-O-S-O. Just coming up, a conversation with Majora Carter on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio Broadcast Service at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.